There are so many things that I come upon nowadays that I think, I wish I'd known this way back when. I wish I'd known this when I was a younger fellow. One of those things is, and it's not that I never heard it or never read it, it's just I never got it. One of those things is this: overcome temptation. There are multiple places in the pages of Scripture where we see this idea of overcoming, getting past, bearing through. One of the places that I think sometimes we don't spend enough time considering is we need to learn how to overcome temptation. We need to learn how to keep ourselves from falling to temptation. I'm not saying that we have a big problem with that, but I am well aware that for most of us, there are some things that we have a lot more trouble with than we do some other things. We need to recognize that God wants us to overcome temptation. In James chapter 1, in verses 12 through 15, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I'm being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We need to understand what James is saying here. And one of the things that James is saying here is we cause our own problems by letting ourselves fall prey to the outside influences or even the inward influences that we may have from our flesh. We oftentimes make our own trouble. Not everyone is going to be tempted in the same manner. There are things that will tempt me that will never be a problem for most of y'all at all, because we have different desires, we have different upbringings, we have different backgrounds, different environments. There are some things that are common to all of us, but there are many things that one or more of you may be tempted by that it never even enters my mind, never even a consideration at all. But each one of us has the ability within ourselves to overcome every temptation. If we can learn to stop giving in to that lust, to that desire that wants to pull us away from God. And we want to talk about that this evening. Can we and how we might be able to overcome temptation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, passage we're familiar with in this regard, Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it." I also want us to turn over and look at the book of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 1, John states it this way: "My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, not ours only, but for those of the whole world." Those two verses tell us the same thing. We can overcome temptation. The writing of 1 John chapter 1 gives us some insight into that as he talks about our need to walk in the light. We'll touch on that a little more as we go through the lesson. But I want us to start with those two verses because they remind us that we are able to overcome temptation. It doesn't mean that we'll never be tempted, but we are able to persevere in temptation. We're able to come through it without giving into it, without falling prey. I think that's an important point for us to understand in our fight against Satan and against sin. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That's another powerful statement that says, I can keep Satan away from you. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, was giving what some call the Lord's Prayer. The sample prayer is what I call it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." God has never given us instruction to ask for something that He was not willing to give. James tells us if we ask in faith, we will receive. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment." Take note of that. Peter says, if we believe that the unrighteous are being held for judgment, we can believe that God knows how to help us get through temptation, how to rescue us from temptation. Once again, we're not talking about never being tempted. We are going to be tempted. What we're talking about is resisting temptation when it comes and enduring it. Not giving in to. James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." There's the first verse we've looked at that really gives us a good hint as to how we bear up under temptation. It has to do with our nearness to God. And we're told in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Now, I recognize this is a more direct instruction to Christians in the first century regarding the difficulties and struggles, but part of what we're seeing there in what the promise that comes from Christ here through John is, I will help you persevere through your trials and temptations. And remember, the temptations we're talking about here, at least some of them, had to do with losing their life for confessing Jesus or for refusing to call Caesar Lord. God said, I will help you. All these passages remind us that it is possible for us to endure temptation, for us to overcome. How do we do that? We do it by building up our resistance to temptation. And we build up our resistance to temptation by remembering who we are and where we're from. The preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." And let's not think that he's only talking to young people there. If the point being made, if you remember him when you're young, then as you get older, you're certainly going to continue to remember him. Remember your Creator. Know from whence you are. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And I'm aware that Paul is not specifically talking about our ability to overcome temptation here. But when we see this verse in light of what John told us, that we don't sin because the seed dwells within us, it helps us to understand where we come from, who we're associated with. We need to remember who we are. As I do from time to time, I think back to my upbringing. There were certain places, or there were places that I went that because people knew who my daddy was or who my grandfather was, I was a little more careful about how I conducted myself. And that's kind of the idea that we're getting here. Because we are associated with God, it gives us strength to act different than the rest of the world. To bear up under these trials. It at least gives us an extra layer of resistance for us to call upon when we remember we are from God. You see Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 up there on the screen, so you know what the next one is. Remember who's the focus. Remember what's first and foremost in your life. Determine, I will put God first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again, the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. One of the greatest examples we have of that is the statement made of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach His statutes and ordinances in Israel. There's a similar statement made about Daniel in his letter, in the book that he wrote, that states he had decided he would not defile himself with the king's meat. They overcame this temptation because they determined in their heart from the very beginning, I will serve God. That's what John's talking about when he talks about the seed dwelling within us. When he talks about learning from the things that he has written will help us to not commit sin. We need to determine first and foremost, God is the only one that matters. Then we need to be aware that our adversary, the devil, is crafty. Because when you know that someone is crafty, you're a little more careful in watching for them. If growing up one of your siblings was a jokester, you were a little more careful where you sat down when they were somewhere nearby. Or maybe it was one of your kids when they were growing up. We recognize that Satan is crafty, and that causes us to look closer, to be more careful. That's exactly what Peter is telling us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Be on guard. Any of you seen any posts online with snakes reminding you that it's spring and the snakes are getting out, swarming up? That's the same kind of warning that Peter's giving us here about Satan. Except Peter tells us Satan's always out there. It's not just because it's springtime. Satan is always out there trying to cause us trouble. And we need to be on guard. We need to be watching out. Another thing that we can do to build up our resistance to temptation. Not only do we determine that God is first and recognize that He's our Father, He's our Creator, we get in touch with Him regularly. We pray to God. Jesus told His apostles in Matthew 26, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. We need to stay in communication with God. He's our best defense against Satan. He's the one that Paul told us there in the Corinthian letter would provide a means of escape from the temptation, of overcoming that temptation. That means we need to be in contact with Him regularly. We need to seek His help. We need to listen to what He says. Peter says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Grow in your understanding and knowledge of the teachings of Christ. That passage right there, that verse right there goes all the way back to the beginning of that letter where Peter told us it's not enough to have faith, but we need to increase our faith by adding to it virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, all of those things. We need to continue to grow and to increase, and we do that by study. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." We're told in Scripture that if we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. The ways that we draw near to God is spend more time in His word and spend time talking to Him in prayer. If we want God to provide us a means of overcoming sin and overcoming temptation to sin so we can stop it before it happens, we need to be in as constant a contact with God as we possibly can. Because it's dangerous out there. The world is filled with traps seeking to tear us down and pull us away from God. And we need to be as close to Him as we possibly can. And the closer we are to God, the less we will like sin. Those two passages in Psalm 119. "From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Therefore I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way." His hate for sin was because of his trust, hope, and reliance upon the Word of God. The more we understand God, the easier it is to overcome temptation. And if we can overcome temptation, we can avoid sin. Remember, James told us sin comes when we give in to the enticement of the temptation. If we can overcome the temptation, we can avoid the sin. Along a similar line, we need to make sure that our mind and our bodies are engaged in activities that are drawing us closer to God, that are upright and pleasing in His sight. That's why that passage over there in Hebrews chapter 10 is so important to us. If we want to avoid sin, we need to be doing things that keep us close to God. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Coming together to worship God, to study from His Word, is in many ways just as important to us for overcoming temptation as reading his Bible on a daily basis, and going to God in prayer and talking to him about our needs and our concerns and our weaknesses and our strengths. These things work together to draw us closer and closer to God and further away, to help us resist Satan so that he will flee from us, to help us avoid giving in to temptation. Just as well, we also need to keep ourselves away from those pastimes that might excite or entice our hungers. Remember, James says that sin comes after we're carried away by our own lusts. And when it has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's accomplished, brings forth death. Each is tempted when he's carried away by the enticements. If we keep ourselves away from those things that would entice us, we're much less likely to be enticed, aren't we? We see this in many aspects of life. One of the probably most familiar to all of us is in the realm of food. If we're trying to lose weight for whatever reason it may be, or we're trying to make ourselves more healthy so that we can live longer or at least have more energy while we're living, we understand that there are certain things that we have to leave off. And so when we go to the grocery store, we don't walk down the chip aisle. We don't go down the aisle that's got the cookies and the candy on. We walk past those. And if we're fortunate, and we've got somebody with us, they'll push us a little bit to help us get past it faster. Because the less we are exposed by those things, the less likely we are to give in. We don't keep Fritos at the house anymore. Because if we had Fritos at the house, Dan would always be eating Fritos. The chocolate chip cookies, they get put up in the fridge. And somebody watches to make sure Dan doesn't get out more than one or two if he's lucky. Why? Because they're a temptation. If I walk past them laying on the table every single day, I'm much more likely to grab one and eat it on my way outside. We don't surround ourselves with the things that are going to tempt us. That's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus tells us, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But we're to lay up our treasures in heaven. We're to keep our minds on godly things, not on the things of the world. When Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren, he said, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. This point right here and the next one is the one that I really wish I had picked up on sooner. I've heard it. I knew it was there. I'd read it, been taught it. It had been exemplified before me, but it didn't sink in. And so, there was one evening after work that when my friends invited me out, I went with them. Somebody was having a birthday party or something, and I went with them. I was real good. I didn't do anything that night. Then they asked me out again. I don't remember if it was the second or third or fourth time, somewhere along in there. I gave in. We were at a place that served alcohol, and I had some. And it caused me all sorts of trouble for about a year or so in my life. If I had remembered these things, I could have avoided that. If I'd have just got in my car after work and drove back home to my grandparents' house, I would have been fine. But I didn't. My thought was, I can go with them. That's not a big deal. It won't be a problem. I've never been tempted by that sort of thing. It's not going to bother me. But it did. If I'd never been in the midst of it, it wouldn't have. That leads us to the next point. Choose good friends who have interests like you. Be careful who you hang around with. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. There are way too many young people that are living examples of that very statement. Be careful who you hang around with. And don't get me wrong, I'm not just talking to young people. We older folks can hang around some folks that are going to cause us problems too. We need to be careful who our companions are. Remember, we're trying to avoid temptation. And if we do get ourselves in a situation where we are tempted, we want to be able to overcome it. We want to be able to turn away and walk off. Not have anything to do with it. We're not going to do that with our friends who are wanting to engage in those things. We need to be careful. I think one of the things that we miss in how we can overcome temptation is taking advantage of the experience that is around us. Oftentimes when I make this next suggestion, I'm thinking about those who are younger, and certainly it is an excellent idea if you are a young Christian to find someone who is a devout servant of the Lord that you can look up to, that you can go to and you can talk to, and you can have them help you to guide you and to instruct you. There's a few choices in the audience this evening. But let's not forget the importance of having someone that we can count on even as we grow older. Now, for most of us, that person is probably going to be our spouse as much as anybody else. But let's not forget to take advantage of the experience that is around us and use it to help us overcome, to bear through and persevere. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Later in chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul said, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Corinthian brethren, look to the experience that's before you. Learn. Take advantage of that which is before us. Those who have already experienced these things. Use them to help us grow and increase ourselves. And let's not forget, as we grow older, sometimes there are folks that are younger than us that have dealt with things we have not, and can be useful and helpful to us as well. Age is not necessarily the determining factor in who can be a guide, and we see that from Paul's trust and hope in Timothy and sending them to the Corinthian brethren. He said, listen to Timothy. He can be of use to you. He can be of help to you. Even though, my understanding, he was a good bit younger than the Apostle Paul. Listened to a podcast the other day. The title was Begin With Why. I didn't pay attention to that in this lesson because I wanted to end with why. Those who overcome are blessed. Why do we want to keep ourselves from sin? Because when we bear up and we overcome sin, when we persevere through temptation, we will be blessed. I'm convinced we will have blessings in this life. But more importantly, there is a blessing that awaits us in the end of time. He who overcomes will inherit these things we read in Revelation chapter 21. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. You remember the things that we read about in the book of Revelation? Heaven, home with God for all eternity. That's for the one that overcomes. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. John tells us as we continue in that passage there in 1 John chapter 5, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? All of the things that we've talked about that will help us to overcome temptation are an outgrowth of the fact that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. Not only that, but he left us instructions, a guidebook, a plan, commands, an example that would help us to avoid sin so that we might be with him for all eternity. And I'm well aware that in the exact same verse where John says, I write these things so that you may not sin, he also says, if you do sin, Jesus is our advocate. Just a few verses above that, he said, if we confess our sins, we're faithful, and God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It reminds us in that context that there is no time in our life that we can say, I have not sinned, or I do not sin. But there is sufficient scripture to impress upon us the need to avoid sin, that we have the means to endure temptation without giving in. We can overcome. And if we do, what's waiting for us in the heaven that God has prepared. Let us do everything within our power to overcome temptation, to take advantage of whatever means God has provided for us so that we might avoid temptation or escape temptation. Let us know that if we do faith, Jesus is there. We can call upon him, and we can receive forgiveness in him so that we are pure and clean in the sight of God. Let's try to avoid it. And hold it away to correct it. And if you look this evening and find things in your life that are amiss that need to be set right, we want to pray with you and for you. We want to help you to overcome. We want to help you to be strengthened and encouraged and right in the sight of God, because all of us want to go to heaven and be with God for all eternity. If we assist you in getting right, won't you come and stand and sing for your encouragement?